turn this afternoon to the Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I had no intention of turning here this afternoon to this word. Quite thought I should continue with the verse we had under consideration this morning, that the poor man cried. As these words come with some degree of power into my heart, I feel I cannot turn from them, sincerely hoping there may be a reason for it in some heart in our little sanctuary this afternoon. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. This somewhat, friends, carry on with the text this morning, because as we was trying to speak of prayer, and the one who sits by the side of the Father in heaven in glory, who will accept, will hear the prayers and be pleased to answer, that is, if it's according to the Lord's will. And we have here Jesus, who is journeying in that direction, as you know, to the cross, and also to the day of his resurrection, and also to that time when he should return unto his Father in glory. I feel these things are very much dovetailed together. But first I would just notice, respecting our text this afternoon, the concern that the Lord Jesus had towards his disciples, and the love so manifested unto them. Here was the Lord Jesus journeying toward Calvary, on the way, as it were, to the place of death, to the deep sorrow sufferings of Christ on the cross. And yet, his heart seemed to be, and affections, taken up with his disciples, and the love so manifested. And ye know therefore our sorrow. But the Lord Jesus had sorrow to face. He had great sorrow and grief, and shall I use the word punishment? I think I have right to do so. That is, to die upon the cross. He knew therefore have sorrow. But his love went, as it were, to his disciples. He seems more concerned respecting the disciples and leaving the disciples whom he loved than the path he was about to tread and the cross at Calvary. He says, now, and ye now therefore have sorrow. And here again, friends, how wonderful it is how the Lord looked within their hearts and knew their thoughts and knew their sorrows. And knew all about them. Not that we read much, as it were, of their sorrow that they was bearing, apart from this, that they were very troubled because he was going to leave them for a little while. But they knew not the reason. Jesus knew. He knew, Yea, he knew, I speak with all reverence, he knew it when he laid as a babe in the manger. He knew his pathway, he knew a little what he was going to pass through and what he would have to endure. But these disciples did not know the reason why Jesus should leave them. This word has struck me, in fact it struck me very forcibly only a few evenings ago when I heard it read. It is expedient, Jesus said, for me to leave you. Oh, my friends, there's something very, very deep and expedient. Well, what did it mean? Well, if the Lord Jesus had not left them and gone to that place of crucifixion, well, as I said this morning, no Jesus, there'd be no life, and there would be no heaven at last, no forgiveness. But oh, what a deep concern he had in his heart to these disciples as he was going to leave them. Ye now therefore have sorrow. But he gave them also this encouraging word, but I will see you again. You see, friends, the Lord knew, Jesus, he knew that where he was going, where he was being led by the Spirit, as it were, how he was compelled to do it at the will of his Father to bring in salvation for poor, vile sinners. And ye know therefore have sorrow. But he says, I will see you again. What an encouraging word then to these disciples when they were in much grief and in much sorrow. Hasn't there been times when you have been in the pathway of sorrow? It may have been in your troubles, in the things, shall I say, of providence, yes, and more so in the things of grace, feeling your lost condition, your many sins, and so on, and what sorrow you would be bearing. I go back again, as I mentioned this morning, strange it keeps coming to my mind this day, of Jabez of old. And we read that his mother bare him in sorrow. And ye know therefore have sorrow. Have I a poor soul here this afternoon, with some trial, some burden, some sorrow? I haven't touched upon it. I may not. But you know the sorrow, you know the grief, you know what you are passing through, and not only you, but the Lord knows. That's the greatness of his power and his love and understanding. Now we read, there is no searching to his understanding. Ye therefore have sorrow. Have I one here this afternoon? I feel perhaps there's some poor soul here in much sorrow, in some way or another, as I said, maybe in providence, maybe in grace, maybe in your feelings respecting the matters of eternity, and how you long, as it were, with the woman to touch the hem of his garment, but you cannot. Ye now have sorrow. Ye now have sorrow. But I will see you again. May we pass this on to you this afternoon. I will see you again. Maybe in some sorrow of grief, maybe upon the matters of eternity. Your sins may be laid with such weight upon thy spirit, and you say there cannot be any forgiveness of mine for me. Are you down in the depth, my friends, this afternoon? No hope for salvation. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, his precious blood to plead. Ye now have sorrow. And now what I and those poor but disciples, feeling so sorrowful and troubled in spirit, because their best friend, was leaving them for a little season. We can see the kindness in the Lord Jesus in saying, I will see you again. The kindness, as he said, for a little while, and I will see you again. How little did those disciples know the work that the Lord Jesus was going to perform by the help of his Father before he returned, as it were, to see them. The path of sorrow, and this path alone that leads to the land where sorrow unknown. Ye now therefore have sorrow. Well, we spoke this morning of many sorrows that the Lord's people have when they're being convicted of their sin, brought to a knowledge of themselves as sinners in the sight of God. Oh, the sorrow, oh, the grief, but here's the cheering word, but I will see you again. Did the Lord fulfill this promise? He did. Yes, every promise the Lord made when he was on earth to his dear people, and shall I say, the vows made in respecting the standing of the Church of God. Has anything failed? No. Has the Lord given you? Perhaps the Lord gave you a word, perhaps many years ago. Has he failed in fulfilling that promise? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Can't you still see the faithfulness of God and feel a little of that love of his from time to time? The promises. Go back, dear friends, in your thoughts for a moment or two. Has the Lord ever given you a promise? Has he spoken, fear not, for I am with thee? Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my salvation. What does our text say? What's the words of Christ? I will see you again. These sweet promises that the Lord has given to his dear people and spoken them with power. Have I one here this afternoon? You're saying, well, I can't remember I've ever heard the power, the voice of God. Well, we know that the Scripture is the voice of God, the inspired word of God. It's God's word, not man's. Those dear men and prophets of old, they were enlightened by the Spirit, and the Spirit was their leader. He guided them into the word, compelled them to word it, as the Holy Scripture is. Now, therefore, ye have a sorrow. Well, if you've had a promise, dear friends, from the Lord, he will fulfill it. Ah, you say, I'm longing to hear his voice in the pardon of sin. I do want to be prepared for eternity. And I'm in sorrow, you may be saying. Well, the poet has said, the time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say, for me, ye therefore have sorrow. Friends, let me put it this way in my poor way of speaking. And I feel I've come to the end this afternoon, but I will see you again. Oh, how the Lord has been coming to the house of God, it may be, from time to time. And you seem to be much in the dark, cannot behold him, but I will see you again. Oh, how blessed it is when the Lord breaks through those dark clouds into our poor soul, fulfilling the promise, I will see you again. And some of us, in days that have passed, have been in much darkness. And perhaps unbelief has risen in our hearts. And perhaps we have felt, well, there's no truth in the word, in the gospel. You feel to be left entirely to yourself. But, friends, he will come again. He will. But I will see you again. Now, those dear disciples, they proved it, did they not? He died upon the cross. True, he did, but he returned for a little season. They saw him. There's those who saw him on the cross, suffering. As you know, even the mother of Jesus, and how he spake to her, "Woman, behold thy son, I will see you again." He opened his eyes upon the cross in his suffering and looked upon them and spoke to them. Those three or four, as we read in the Gospel, in this same Gospel of John. The wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene, a poor, poor, wretched sinner, having many devils in her heart. But he says, "I will see you again." Now, just for a moment or two, think of these round the cross and the disciple. How their hearts must have been grieved to see one suffering and dying upon the cross. One day, Lord, I will see you again. Did he open his eyes again? We read as he was crucified, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The work fully accomplished, the pleasing of the Father, the will of the Father, for the benefit of his church, chosen people. But I will see you again. As you know, he was laid in the sepulchre, but he rose again. Rose triumphant over sin and death and hell. Oh, friends, the glorious work of God, the Father, the Spirit, Jesus Christ, rising from the dead, triumphant. Some of you have heard me express those words of Job. I know, Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I will see you again. My mind goes to those on the way to Damascus. Sorry, Emmaus. Those on the way to Emmaus. Someone's walking with them. They did not know him at first. But I will see you again. Jesus looked upon them, spoke to them. I will see you again. That's the fulfillment of his promise. My friends, if he has given you a promise, he'll fulfill it. Though these poor creatures on the way to Emmaus, they thought, well, now all our hope is gone. This was the one we thought that would be deliverance of Israel. But now he's died. He's laid in the sepulchre. It's finished. I will see you again. And so he saw those on the way to Emmaus and spake to them. Ye therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Oh, how wonderful it is when the Lord comes to light again, when he reveals himself, when he makes himself known. Let us go again that evening, as we may be helped, to the evening of his resurrection from the dead. He's in the temple. And these disciples, Thomas wasn't, but others, was in the temple. And Jesus came, door being closed, but he went into the temple, and he spoke to those disciples, "Yea, I will see you again." And oh, how true it was. How he spake to them in the temple, at that time, spoke to them, and they to him, "I will see you again." And then again on the coast, as those fishermen such as John and Peter and so on was fishing, and he came just where they were and spoke to them. Oh, the fulfillments, my friends, of the promises of God given in his word and given to us sometimes. With that power, I will see you again. So he saw them there. Mary Magdalene. I think that I often thought, what comfort, great comfort, this should convey to a poor soul that feared to be ruined in sin, through his or her, ruined in sin, and here was more Mary Magdalene. Having seven devils was in her heart, but, oh my friends, the love of Christ. He saw her before he died. He spoke to her. He turned out these devils. I will see you again. Now on the cross she spotted him. Yes, she knew it was him. She knew it was the one who had spoken to her. She loved. Oh, see that great change wrought in her heart. The time called by grace to turning out of the devils till she came to the cross and saw Jesus there and see him after he'd risen from the dead. Oh, how she looked for him. Ran to the sepulchre to find him, but no Christ, no God. Ye know therefore have sorrow. Oh, cannot we repeat these words of our text? Ye know therefore have sorrow in respect of Mary Magdalene, who could not find him, longed for him, but could not find him. Now the Lord says, I will see you again. And true he did. As you know, this poor woman, a poor sinner, looking for Christ, thinking he would be risen the dead, yet he went where she was. Oh, how often we prove that in the scripture, and I believe in their own experience, friends, it's not where we go, it's where he comes. And therefore, he went to the woman, Mary Magdalene, drew near to her, and she asked him the question, did she not? Asking if he had seen, thinking it was the gardener. Yeah, just a thought here. She'd seen him only 3 days previously, hanging on the cross. No, she didn't recognize him. Oh, friends, you can see the difference. When he was in agony in his body, pain we cannot begin to describe. No, he had risen. The work had been accomplished to perfection, work of salvation, and now, risen from the dead, all the pain and trouble and the grief and sorrow that dear man passed through previously, now finished forever. Yes, salvation. Yes, he wrought out and came forth conquering over sin and death and hell. This is Jesus, the Son of God. I will see you again. And when he opened his lips and said, Mary. She did not recognize him. But now, she knew his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they know it. Oh, how true are those words. Do you know the voice of the Lord Jesus? Has he ever spoken to you? That still small voice that we read of and sing of in one of the hymns. I will see you again. Have you ever seen him? Have you ever had a little view of him? I will see you again. Has he left you sometimes much in darkness, Seems as if he's turned his back upon you. Seems as if he has said, well, because of all your sins, iniquities, and transgressions, I'll have no more to do with you. No, dear friends, no. I will see you again. You in sorrow, but I will see you again. I'll come and visit you again. I will not leave you to perish. I think of those words in Malachi, in the closing of the third chapter, I believe, of Malachi. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard and hearkened, and a book of remembrance was written for them that fear God. What else? And they that thought upon this day. Do you say, is this question within, do I fear God? But friends, do you think upon it? Do you think upon his holy name? What is his name to you? We've quoted that verse, I believe, in prayer this afternoon. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear, soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. Is that name, Jesus, precious, precious, precious to you? I will see you again. And they, I've often thought, what a kind word the Lord gave to Malachi to write, to leave on record what we've quoted. They that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard and hearkened, and a book of remembrance was written for them that feared God and that thought upon his name. What else? And they shall be mine in the day that I make up my jewels. I will see you again. And your heart, and your heart shall rejoice. We know a little, perhaps too much, of the heart rejoicing in things that are carnal, perishing, fading. But do we know, dear friends? Do we know? Do we have we rejoiced in the matters of the Lord's love and compassion toward us? What do we read in the first verse of the third chapter of the first epistle of John? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Your heart shall rejoice. Sometimes my poor thoughts, shall I say, my mind goes back over many, many years. And when the Lord first called me by grace and brought me to feel the law, showed me very plainly I could not fulfill the law, that I should perish under it. It would swipe me even to the hell. Oh, the times, my friends, and the paths I walked, pleading with God for mercy, for pardon. And some of you may have heard me say before, in leaving home one Sabbath morning, go into the house of God. And I said, I tried to pray, and I said to the Lord, this is the last time. No help, no mercy to my poor soul. It's finished. No good me continuing. I'll turn into the world. But in a few moments the word came with power to my heart, and your heart shall rejoice. So I believe I know a little of this, and the word the Lord gave me was what the word he gave to Jeremiah of old. Yea, he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Ah, my poor heart rejoiced in him then. You see, friends, when the Lord speaks this power, he speaks right into their heart. Oh, many might speak to us. We hear it with the outward ear, but oh, when it penetrates, by the power of the Holy Spirit into the heart. Has he ever spoken a word to you? I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. Some word of comfort. Well, how true are the Lord keeps to his promises. Ye know therefore have sorrow. But he says, I will see you again. Oh, these wills, these shells spoken by the Lord, they stand firm for him. You're on a rock. The rock is Christ. Can it be overthrown? Can it be broken? He's faithful to his precious promises. What a gracious God we have. And your heart shall rejoice. Mine goes for a moment to Paul and Silas in the prison, as you know, and the feet in the stocks and so on, and they were praying. And the Lord drew near to them, gave them a little of his love. I will see you again, Paul. I will see you again, Silas. And your heart shall rejoice. And how there prayers was turned into praise, into rejoicing. Oh, friends, I wish I could exalt this precious God, this precious Savior, this precious Redeemer. He is worthy of it. The path he's tread of sorrow and grief to bring us to rejoice in his holy name. I will see you again. Friends, we are each travelling home to our eternal home. We shall see him. We read in the word that he will bring his angels, and there will be a dividing, as it were, of sinner and of saint. That is, the unrighteous and the righteous, one on his right and one on his left. I will see you again. I will see you again. And as he's speaking here to his dear disciples, his dear flock, he can say, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. When he says, come ye blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for thee. I will see you again. It's a solemn thought, dear friends, recorded when we appear before the judge to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether evil or whether they should be good. If we are upon the right hand of Christ, we shall come in this experience. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Rejoice. Have you ever had a little view of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says here, I will see you. He will see us again, or his disciples. But have you ever seen him? This is by faith. By faith we see him. Have you ever seen him? Oh, I speak with all reverence. Some years ago, I believe I had just a little view of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon that cross and suffering. It was only for a few moments, but it's not left me, friends. Oh, it leaves a mark. It leaves a mark within our poor souls. It leaves that we shall not lose sight of. The sweetness of it may be gone for a season, but it will return when we see him. Are you expecting to see him? You're hoping to see him? You're praying that you might see him? Yes, in glory. A man, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, in paradise. I've said at times that we should never forget the cross. We should never forget the sufferings of God. There will not be the sorrow of it there. There's no sorrow in heaven. Nothing in heaven to in any way grieve the Holy Spirit's glorified spirits there. But friend, you'll still be reminded of a little of Calvary. Well, I've told you I had just a little glimpse of him on the cross, if I wasn't greatly deceived. Only lasted a few moments, but my heart rejoiced, not to see him suffering, not to see what he is passing through, but my poor soul rejoiced because I felt I could see my sins on his body, in his soul, that I may go free, that he bore my sins there. Ye know therefore our sorrow, but I see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Friends, we are blessed with a little of peace of God here on earth. What do we read in this last verse? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And your joy no man taketh from you. The little that we have here, a little joy, as the Lord is pleased to give it to us, well, friends, that'll be good. That'll give us a little peace of mind. It'll be a token of heaven. But, oh, the joy and peace and glory. To be separated from a body of sin and death. No wonder the apostle said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and of death? Your joy no man taketh from you. It's a lasting joy, eternal peace, in and through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but in me ye shall have peace. Friends, my strength is gone, I leave it with you. May the Lord bless these poor remarks. Amen.